Welcome to another edition of Inside the Football Business, where we go inside the game of football and talk about the business aspect of the greatest sport in America. And we've had the Super Bowl coming up this Sunday. It's the Denver Broncos versus the Carolina Panthers. Many people are expecting it to be Peyton Manning's last game. A lot of talk of his retirement if they go ahead and win the Super Bowl there. And, the focus on Cam Newton will be probably being the MVP Saturday before the Super Bowl. So a lot of stuff going on. We've got the NFL Combine is here in 3 weeks. Then we roll into pro days, then roll right into the NFL draft. We've got all the juniors that have declared. So a lot of good things going on. So, Neil, how's Friday morning going for you?
So far, so good, man. I know it's early, but it's a busy time and it's an exciting time. So it's a good time to be in the football world.
Yeah, for sure. So we want to kind of talk about, some different things that came on this off season and some hires that, people kind of were, taken back and just kind of, shocked. And obviously the Cleveland Browns haven't, had a strong, since they've entered into the league there with, personnel and wins. And obviously Johnny Manziel has resurfaced in the news here yesterday in regards to, some possible domestic violence stuff there. So they also had announced that they're going to go ahead and, release, Johnny there when the new league year starts. But they made an interesting hire and hired a gentleman named Sasha Brown to be their executive VP of football operations there. Shocked a lot of people in regards to how that they were going to go ahead and structure, their front office, not having a true football, GM there, but having him kind of oversee everything football-wise. What have you heard kind of, when you were down at the Senior Bowl a couple weeks ago and kind of the talks in regards to agents and scouts in regards to kind of the way that the Browns are going to go with the analytics and the different things, that people are trying to kind of bring into the NFL, kind of a new age, standpoint there. So what is kind of people said there out there in the marketplace?
Well, I hate to say it, but this isn't a great time to be a Browns fan. There's a lot of indecision is what I'm getting back in their front office. And right now, as you mentioned, Sasha Brown is kind of the face of the front office, the franchise of the brain trust at Cleveland. And, he's got a great pedigree, from an educational and academic standpoint. He's a bright young mind. But he really lacks the football experience, and we'll see if he has a football acumen that you normally would attach to a job of that stature, where he's the de facto GM. I still think that they would like to bring a personnel man in, but right now there's a lot of bullets flying, there's a lot going on, and it's kind of like trying to jump on the bus when it's already rolling at 10 miles an hour, 15 miles an hour, 20 miles an hour. So I think they're having a little trouble doing that right now. What I've been able to gather is that they've essentially put the personnel decisions and what have you, they put the team back in the hands of the people that were running the team up until 2007. The scouts that were kind of doing things, making the operational decisions and what have you. And so Bobby Vega and Chisholm Opara are kind of making a lot of the decisions there and have kind of assumed control until they can really find someone to take over, and they're still kind of trying to work out that mix as far as how aggressive they want to be about the analytics and kind of what direction they want to go. And I think to some degree, this is going to be, I know this isn't very encouraging, again, if you're a Browns fan, but this may be kind of a learning draft for the Browns because Paul DePodesta came in, he's got a baseball background and he's obviously very skilled at refining the numbers and those kind of things. But we'll find out if football lends itself as well to that as it does to baseball. And the jury's out, of course. But for now, it's still very kind of hazy. The president of the team is a big analytics guy as well, and I think he's kind of driving the bus when it comes to this decision to go in this direction. And so, yeah, to some degree, the Browns are an experiment that, you know, is still in progress. And so we don't know how it's going to all turn out. But they've got a lot of interesting decisions ahead of them, obviously. So they'll be, you know, it's going to be kind of entertaining to see what they do, how they make their decisions. Do they place the same weight on certain positions and certain players that other teams do? Or are they going to determine that, hey, maybe you don't need a quarterback. Maybe it's not as important as everyone else says it is. You know, what are they going to – we don't know really what's going to come out of the lab when it comes to the Browns. So they're going to be – I think they're going to be on the microscope across the league right now, as they have been. And so we'll see where it goes. They definitely right now, I think it's fair to say, they aren't following the path that most teams follow, which is kind of one of three things. Either hire an independent guru, kind of like what the Jets did last year where they hired Charlie Cassidy to run things, and then other teams have worked with Ernie Accorsi, or kind of let the league make a recommendation. The league has a panel of former GMs that kind of cultivates names and cultivates people that are moving up through the ranks and kind of makes recommendations there, or just simply try to pick, you know, from the fruit of the Ted Thompson or Bill Belichick tree, which is also very popular and kind of what the Titans have done, you know, kind of what the Lions have done by taking people that were once highly placed in the Patriots organizations. The Bucks did it last year as well with the Jason Light hire. So that's the normal path that most teams are taking. I think right now the Browns haven't decided they want to go down that path. I think they kind of want to blaze their own trail. And that's exciting, but it's also risky. And for a team like the Browns that has struggled to make good decisions over the last really 10 years, I guess, you know, hopefully they're not going to go down and make another Johnny Manziel selection, which it didn't really work out for anybody. And it's kind of going – looking more like a Ryan Leaf kind of selection, really.
Well, I, you know, I mean, maybe, you know, the owner there shouldn't be talking to people on the streets and, you know, and having those guys make those decisions. Like, you know, the one story was there with, you know, why they drafted Johnny Manziel. But I do think they have a big decision with that number two overall pick there. You know, I mean, are they going to take a quarterback? I mean, obviously Josh McCown has been a perennial backup, perennial kind of journeyman quarterback there. He's had some good times and, you know, kind of, you know, up and down career there. But, you know, is a capable NFL, you know, quarterback there. Do they go ahead and jump on a Jared Goff or a Paxton Lynch there with the number two pick, you know, or, you know, what are they going to do there? You know, talking with a lot of people, you know, and, you know, when you look at the draft and, you know, maybe there isn't those, the big star, there's not the, you know, Jameis Winston, you know, Marcus Mariota, you know, of last year's, you know, there's a lot of good depth, you know, in this draft, but it's not just, you know, any type of, you know, wow factor. So, you know, I think that's going to be where they're going to have to kind of figure out with the number two pick. It's going to be a big decision, you know, for this organization. And you hope, like you had mentioned, hey, is it a learning draft? And it, you know, if it can't be, you know, they've got to, you know, kind of get up to speed here, you know, relatively quickly. And, you know, we'll see if it works. I don't necessarily know if it's going to be something that's going to overtake the traditional ways of kind of building teams and using your, you know, football guys to make football decisions there. So, you know, I think, hey, if it worked for the Browns, maybe some other teams think about it, but I don't see it just being the new thing when we look, you know, 15 years, you know, in the future, and everybody's got a, you know, as more of an analytics, you know, background than a football background there.
Some of the Browns are really fascinating right now. If you kind of are a fan of watching front offices and kind of sifting through how people make decisions, because they went hard in a direction 2 years ago of bringing in very experienced traditional football evaluators. You know, they brought Ronnie Hill in from the league office, who's run several scouting departments, and they brought in a number of other scouts that had been in the league for many years. And that kind of went against the grain of the way teams have been doing it the last 4 or 5 years, where they're more centralizing the decision-making in the hands of a few people and hiring a lot of younger scouts to just go out and get really measurables and gather information from schools and do those kinds of things, you know, be able to kind of keep the budget a little bit more limited. And I don't know, just I kind of accrue all the power in a couple of key positions. But the Browns have got these guys that really all have kind of almost enough experience to be player personnel directors and GMs of their own. So, and they've always done it, you know, again, the old school way. They go out and they watch the film and they talk to people, and they've got mounds of contacts and gigantic networks and those kind of things. So here's these guys. That's kind of how they're wired for this draft, whereas they're trying to figure out how to kind of do away with all that. At least that seems to be the perception from the outside, if they're going to really go in an analytics direction. So how you make all the pieces fit is really kind of interesting, and I don't know how I would go about it if I were them. I mean, if they really want to go in the direction of trying to sift through the numbers and refine that and figure it all out, then I don't know. Maybe they've got a new way of analyzing quarterbacks that no one has ever looked at. Maybe they're going to kind of go in a way of, you know, really strictly looking at completion percentage or time in the pocket, or I don't know. I mean, I guess whatever you can think of. But that's what makes this kind of interesting, and that's what makes it kind of exciting, and makes it, you know, kind of fun to see what risks they'll take and where they'll go with that. So I don't know. I mean, it's again, this is kind of what makes the league fun and interesting. And I think, especially for wacko draft nicks and people like you and me that really follow this, they're going to be an interesting case study.
Yeah, and another interesting case study kind of, you know, was the Philadelphia Eagles kind of flipping back to Howie Roseman after Chip mm-hmm. Kelly had all, you know, all the power there. And we've seen some, you know, with all the Super Bowl hype, there's been some signings that have been kind of big signings. I mean, Vinnie Curry, the defensive end, you know, signed an extension. So did two tight ends, Zach Ertz and Brent Celek, you know, they're signed an extension, as well as offensive tackle Lane Johnson there. So they locked mm-hmm. up, you know, some young players there. They're making a shift, you know, looks like to back to the 4-3 from the 3-4 that, you know, Chip Kelly was, you know, implementing, you know, there and getting, you know, personnel people for there. So obviously, you know, bring back Doug Peterson there as a head coach. So, you know, looks like they're going back to more of the Andy Reid, you know, thing there, with not necessarily mm-hmm. just that czar football guy, you know, but Howie Roseman kind of helping in the contract negotiations more so than the evaluation, you know, part of it. So I think that's going to be an interesting thing to look at and what they do, you know, kind of going forward there. But I think it was very interesting to see them, you know, lock up, you know, some young guys here, you know, relatively quickly after the season had ended.
Yeah, I agree. That's another interesting case study to me, because one of the other trends in the league right now, and again, this kind of goes against your traditional scouting role and how you use your evaluators. I think the Eagles could be going in more direction where they're using their position coaches and using their head coach to kind of build the team the way they want it. I mean, there's a bit of a leadership vacuum, and I'm not trying to pick on Howie Roseman, but he doesn't come from a strictly personnel background and is probably going to be a little bit more business-minded, and I think you're seeing that reflected in all the signings and those kinds of things. With that being the case, it looks like Doug Peterson is going to probably come in, I would guess, and really kind of have the hammer in the draft room and really be able to make the team in the mold that he wants to see. And it looks like it's going to be a little more power-oriented, probably a more balanced attack, not as reliant perhaps on spread that Chip Kelly used, obviously. So, that's going to be fun to watch. And, I mean, I know I use that term a lot, but it really is, because, you know, how will Peterson do this? What will he do with DeMarco Murray? You know, what will he do with you know, all the signings that Chip Kelly made in the last year that are not exactly aligned with the way that they want to play now, and yet they've got big contracts, and so it's not easy to just toss them aside. How would, you know, would that, does that mean they'll be moving on draft day? What will they do at the quarterback position? I'm not sure that I would want to make a big investment at the quarterback position as it is right now. Will they cast someone, you know, will they kind of go and try to maybe move up and try to get a quarterback? I mean, it's a little bit more in the traditional mold. I don't know. Yeah, that's going to be kind of fun to watch as well, and it'll be something that we'll be tracking as we move forward. But if the Eagles succeed in doing that, and if they kind of rely on their coaches more and they kind of go more to Denver Broncos style of things and the Cincinnati Bengals style of things, that's another thing that could really affect the way people do scouting. Because, again, most teams still want to use their scouts to go out and do the bulk of the evaluation. But more and more teams, they're kind of going the Broncos style of things where they let the scouts kind of go out and set the table, but then the coaches come in and they really watch. They go to the All-Star games. They're really a part of the evaluation process. They go out, they attend all the a lot of the pro days. They get to see the players and kind of try to make those decisions and maybe even kind of override what the scouts say, which always makes scouts go crazy. So I don't know if the Eagles will go in that direction whole hog or if they'll kind of be kind of a mix of things, but, you know, that's something that we'll see as we go a little further. And then we'll, you know, of course, we won't really know the results of this for another 5 years or so. But a lot of different interesting trends that are moving along through scouting departments, a lot of different ways people are making decisions. And I think that's kind of exciting.
Yeah, and speaking of something exciting, you know, I know it's out there and different things like that, but we haven't had a chance to talk about it on this show. And then that is the Inside the League event there at the NFL Combine. That will be Wednesday, February 24th, down there in Indy. And excuse me, you'll have the Browns former, you know, GM Ray Farmer speak at your event there, and really be able to give your clientele, the younger agents, the agents that maybe haven't been in the business, you know, a long time, or guys that, you know, have been, but, you know, want to try to get some more insight, more information there with Ray Farmer, and how, you know, you go about in regards to, you know, helping your client get a workout, a Tuesday workout. As many, you know, teams will bring in players, you know, to work out during the players' off day during the season there. So, you know, it's great to have Ray Farmer, you know, down, you know, there and speaking there. What do you expect him to kind of bring to that? And what can you kind of give to, you know, our listeners about, you know, that event, you know, coming up here in 3 weeks?
Well, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. This is our seventh year doing this. The first year I did it, I came and spoke, and, you know, you can imagine, you know, how that went. I mean, it was fun. We didn't have really big numbers, but subsequently really kind of tried to focus on bringing people in that had a voice in the league and that really can they carry a lot of weight and can talk about what it's like to be inside the war room and can talk about what it's like to make decisions during the season and make decisions in free agency and at all the key points along the calendar. So last year we had Phil Emery come in, obviously former Bears GM, now a national scout for the Falcons. The year before we had Mike Hagan, who has since been hired, and he's now with the Browns as an area scout. And so this year we're bringing in Ray, and Ray's very well spoken, and he really thinks about these things. And we didn't get to see it because he didn't get to hold the position with the Browns very long because, you know, Jimmy Haslam makes major decisions pretty much every day over lunch, seems like. Doesn't give people much of a leash. At any rate, Ray's going to come in. He's going to talk about evaluation. He'll talk about the draft. He'll talk about how they made the different decisions they made. He'll talk about, you know, how he was, you know, what he did with the Chiefs that was different with the Browns and other stops along his career. And I think that's that one thing that's kind of interesting about Ray is he came from the pro side. And so he's worked a lot with evaluating the players that are already in the league. And he can talk about how they do that, how they evaluate those players and how they bring players in that maybe aren't draft eligible anymore, but they feel like can help them along the course of the league. And how do you evaluate them? And, you know, what does it look like for a tryout on a Tuesday, as you alluded to? And how do you integrate the pro people with the college draft people during the draft process? Do you send them out to the pro days as well? Are they going out and conducting their own evaluations and those kinds of things? And I believe that he's had experience with non-combine teams. I think the Chiefs were neither National or Blesto when he was there. Don't quote me on that. But if that's the case, you know, how do you come in and not use a scouting service and really just really start from the bottom with your own scouting list and have to rely on completely and solely on your own evaluations and not kind of have that head start that you get from being part of one of the combines? So I think Ray's going to be really, really, really informative and helpful there. The way we normally do it is we hand our guest speaker 10 questions, and they're very usually nuanced questions about the industry and about the game and about the business and how decisions are made and how things can, people can do things differently to help their clients succeed. And it becomes a very, to me, and I think to people, anyone who's really inside the game, really interested in the game, a very interesting exercise. And they can pull out things and give insights that they wouldn't, you know, you're not going to read about in the paper. You're not going to read about online because most people just don't have that kind of focus. And so we, for, you know, for that hour and a half or thereabouts, usually it's, usually our speakers have come in and spoken for about 75 to 90 minutes. They're really focusing on real business issues, real, the kind of secret sauce of how the league works and how teams make their decisions and how they go about their business. And I think for anyone who's part of the game or who aspires to be part of the game, it's really valuable. So we try to solicit questions from people, from our subscribers, obviously. We try to solicit them through our blog, Succeed in Football, any way we can, really. We just want, we want to have intelligent questions answered that, you know, again, our subscribers are really looking for. So that's something we'll be doing over the next 2 or 3 weeks, is gathering that information, trying to figure out, you know, what insights he can provide and what questions our clients have. It's really kind of a client appreciation night. And so anyone who's an ITL client can come. It's totally free. And anyone who wants to attend, all you can do, and if you want to, you can just sign up for 1 month. And you know, it's $29.95 a month, of course. You can cancel it as soon as you want to. And then you're welcome to come and be part of it. And it's unlike, there are a few events like this where you really get to talk to someone who's done it and who's seen it done by others. And it's one thing, you know, for people who are out there to make their own mock drafts and to play fantasy football and do all those things and kind of, you know, and be part of the game. And believe me, I love that stuff too. But the people that actually were doing it for a living and who actually got graded on it and whose lives and careers and the way they support their families depended on it, they have a different perspective on things. And that's what we try to bring to this. And that's, to me, what makes it fascinating. I mean, Justin, I get as much or more out of these events than anybody else. And I always come away learning something after, you know, our people speak. And, you know, and if you, and for those people who can't be there, we'll put a lot of it online. Most of what Phil did last year, we broke out and put on YouTube. So people can go and access that. They can take a look at the answers to his questions and hopefully get a lot out of that for, again, for people who are focused on the business or for people who are already in the business and trying to learn it all. So, again, very, it's a lot of fun. It's entertaining, but it's also really informative for people who are in the game or who want to be in the game. So I hope that everyone can join us. It'll be Wednesday, February 24th at 7 p.m. in the Indiana Convention Center. And the room information, all that kind of stuff, is on the site. And we'll also have that in our Friday wrap that will come out later today. And it comes out every Friday of the year. So all those details are there. And for all the ITL clients out there that are listening and all those who would like to come, you know, come on and become an ITL client, and love to see you there. It'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, and those are great events, as kind of Neil broke down there, and people that I think, you know, people that really want to be in the business or are, you know, early in their career. It's something that I think is you know, very, very valuable and something that you know, guys need to take advantage, you know, of, and you know, and should be appreciative of you in regards to, you know, putting on those events and bringing in guys like Ray Farmer and other people to speak at that. So
and Justin Van Fulpen.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, I do. Yep. You know, as far as you had a great time, you know, and it's always a good time to you know, get down there, and obviously it changed, you know, usually it's on a Thursday night, but since they pushed the agent meeting to Thursday, you brought it to Wednesday. So will be a good time, and look forward to seeing everybody, you know, down there at the combine here in a couple of weeks. One thing we did see on ITL yesterday was kind of the start of the pro days, and also what I also love what you put on there as regards to the junior days. And if people don't understand what a junior day is, it's basically when the scouts come in and look at, you know, next year's seniors that will be draft eligible for the 2017 season, do height, weight, 40, have them take the Wunderlich test. You know, some schools don't allow, you know, guys to, you know, do height, weight 40. Some guys don't allow guys to run the 40. So then they do it on a, you know, estimate based on film. And then that's what starts the kind of the list, the spring grades there that Bledsoe and, you know, National put together, and that everybody's trying to get their hands on during the summer. As me, as Neil and I know that you'll have many agents that will be calling, going, "Hey, you got the spring grades, you got Bledsoe, got National," you know, so that's kind of you know, interesting there. But that's the start of it, is that those junior, you know, days there. So,
yeah.
You know, we'll see those NFL combine, you know, the NFL combine, then we've got pro days, and then some of those days are junior days there. So great information that you're putting out there, and I think the pro days are something that people, you know, they're all super excited about the combine, but pro days are just as valuable. The thing is that they're just not as many scouts or decision makers at those pro days, depending on where you are, but we always see guys who can kind of make their name, you know, at a pro day, that kind of blow up, and you know, people are like, "Oh, who is this guy?" You know, and you know, guys then get drafted.
Yeah, you know, that's another thing that's kind of become interesting to me, is the level of interest in pro days. I mean, you're starting to see them broadcast on ESPN. I think the Longhorn Network carried University of Texas's pro day last year, and gosh, I mean, pro days are incredible evaluation tools for scouts, and a great way to gather in for, you know, times and, you know, three cones and short shuttles and broads and verticals and all those kind of things. But gosh, the idea of watching a pro day to me is so crazy, because no one scores any touchdowns at a pro day. No one makes any tackles at a pro day. No one keeps score at a pro day. But hey, that's great. If people are interested in watching that and kind of evaluating alongside NFL types and trying to kind of build their own boards and develop their own scouting acumen, then more power to them. I guess probably, Justin, if you and I were 15, 16, 17 years old right now, we'd probably be glued to the TV when those kinds of things are on. You know, we're a little further along in our careers, and but for everyone who's trying to kind of make it and who's really interested in the business and wants to do it, I guess that's something that's informative and entertaining. So, again, I mean, that's, I guess, for people who want to work in the business and who are really focused on making it their career, this is a better time than ever, because there's so many things like that and ways that you can kind of see how the game develops behind the scenes. And so that's great, and that's good to have, and it's a good thing we have things like NFL Network and the other various networks that are willing to broadcast these events. I will only say that I'm not alongside them watching them, because, man, watching a grown man run 40 yards in his shorts is only fun for so long, my opinion.
So apparently Neil isn't into the underwear Olympics, as a lot of people call the NFL combine. You know.
No.
But one thing you will see is these guys there at the combine, you know, agents and stuff like that, they're really glued to that, because that could potentially be, you know, a difference in a couple of dollars in their pockets, or, you know, in regards to on commission stuff there. So one thing we didn't touch on, and one thing real quick, when do you think that 2% agent fee ruling will come in? Do you think that's going to be after the combine or before the combine?
I think they're going to hold that vote in March. So that's coming up after the combine. I don't have a date exactly, but it's coming up. It'll be, I think they hold their annual meetings in March, which is you know, a time when there's no one's holding their you know, practices or what have you, OTAs. So it's a good time for them to do that. We'll have more as we get a little closer to that, of course.
Yeah, for sure. So, Neil, another great half an hour here in Inside the Football Business, where we talk about the business of the game of football. So, you know, we look forward to seeing you here in a couple of weeks down there in Indy, and we look forward to getting, you know, more information about Inside the League event down there. And, hey, you know, we got Super Bowl Sunday. Who's your pick there real quick?
I got to go with the Panthers. I know that's the chalk pick, but, boy, they're really rolling right now, and Cam Newton's a awfully dangerous weapon, and I think I just don't know if Peyton's got enough bullets left in his gun.
Cool. Well, Neil, you have a great day, and we'll chat with you next week.
All right. A lot of fun. Thanks again.